Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name. For the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations.
For giving us the mind of Christ, for gathering us into your church.
We thank you, Lord, for extending your grace to us, for calling us to a life of gratitude, for calling us to service in your kingdom.
Thanks be to God.
Let us give thanks to the Lord for his steadfast, for he satisfies the thirsty, he fills the hungry with good things, and he heals the afflicted. Let us celebrate his abundant goodness.
Beds we sleep in, and for the dwellings that shelter us.
We praise you for all of your gifts that go beyond our basic needs, for the things that make our work easier, for the convenience of modern life, for the beauty and pleasure that you bring into our lives. We give thanks to our Lord for the people he has given us, for parents and grandparents and sons and daughters, for brothers and sisters, husbands and wives, for all those who reflect to us the human dimension of your love.
We give you thanks, O Lord.
For neighbors and colleagues, for friends both far away and nearby, for all those who share the joy and sorrow of our daily lives.
We give thanks, O Lord.
For those who serve us in restaurants and repair shops and stores and schools and hospitals, for all those who make our lives more comfortable.
We give you thanks, O Lord.
For the family of God, for the church universal, for those who worship with us and minister to us in this church.
We give you thanks, O Lord.
For those who are weak and destitute, for those who need protection and support, for those who need healing and nurturing, for all of those whom we minister.
We give you thanks.
For the great mercies and promises given to us in Christ Jesus, our Lord. To you, O God, be praise and glory.
We give you thanks for the great mercies and promises given to us.
Pray together our prayer of confession. Almighty God and everlasting Father, glorious creator of all things, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we do thank you for all that we have even now professed our thanksgiving, for the things we'll voice later in the mic. We thank you, Lord God, for what you have provided, what you continue to provide, and your promises yet to be fulfilled. We do come before you, Lord, as those who have sinned against you. Lord, we fail to glorify you in our lives as your redeemed children. Our unthankfulness extends so often to every thought, word, and deed, as well as to our failure to thank you with our very lips. God, we've not lived to the praise of the glory of your grace. We've not esteemed the reproach of Jesus as our Savior to be greater than the riches of this world. We fail to estimate the infinite cost of the salvation won for us on the cross. God, we've not been faithful to you as you have been faithful to us in all things. Forgive us of our sin. Forgive us of our ingratitude, we pray. We thank you for the reconciling work of Christ, our all-sufficient mediator. We pray this in your name. Amen. Our declaration of forgiveness, assurance of pardon, comes from Ezekiel 36, verses 25 to 26. I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness. And from all of your idols I will cleanse you. A new heart I will give to you, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove from your body the heart of stone, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Praise be to our God. I want to look at just a simple passage in our devotion tonight, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. And so that'll be kind of the theme verse, which we'll consider with some supporting verses around it. So Paul wrote, "Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." And just let those words sink in. So we're going to talk about the details of our life in relation to those words. Paul says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Always, without ceasing, all circumstances, right? Now you've heard people say, maybe I've already said this at one point, I think I did in one morning sermon, but when people make the reference, you know, so-and-so so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. Have you ever heard anyone say that? I mean, Paul is saying exactly the opposite. Be so heavenly minded so we can be earthly good, right? So we can give thanks on a day like this. We want to be heavenly minded as much as we're able to. So many homes tomorrow are going to gather with family, with food, with football. Turkey is probably prepping in some of your homes even now. Maybe some of the anxiety is rising because you'll be sitting with family you haven't seen in a few months. And maybe there's just great joy. I don't know how your families all function, but there's emotions surrounding your gathering tomorrow. I'm sure many of you have traditions. We're kind of getting our traditions going now, and it's fun watching Karen and the girls get a big Thanksgiving meal together in previous years. But we all have traditions, right? A church tradition meeting on Thanksgiving night to express what we're thankful for. And you might say, well, Thanksgiving doesn't fall on the church calendar, right? Well, why are we gathering? Because this is what we do as believers, right? We give thanks. Paul has just commanded us to give thanks in all circumstances. And so if this is a command for the church to do, this is something we respond to, and this is a good, good reason to meet. So we're gathering tonight to give thanks. You'll gather tomorrow with your families to give thanks in the traditions of your homes. Homes will be filled around this nation with families giving thanks, right? Believer and unbeliever giving thanks. But it begs the question, to whom do we give thanks, right? Who's the target of our words of thanksgiving? And I want to consider that in this first portion of my thoughts here tonight. Let me pray before I move into that point. Our Heavenly Father, I do ask that we would see you as our target of thanks, and that those that are gathered in our homes or that we're gathered in homes with, Lord, that we would glorify you in all of our thanksgiving. And we pray this in your name. Amen. So we have a rich history in our nation of thanksgiving. We all know the history. I'm not going to rehash the history. Although it was nice to see the kids dress up for Thanksgiving at school the other day. Because that doesn't happen so much in schools anymore. I mean, it seems like within the last decade, our understanding of Thanksgiving is shifting. As a nation, we're still thankful, but the things we're thankful for are changing. And to whom we give thanks for is also changing, right? So what do we do when we express our thanksgiving? I'd say we have one of four options. The first is we can say just a general thanks. We're thankful for homes, we're thankful for food, we're thankful for friends. Maybe write it on a helium balloon and watch it float away. You're not thankful really to anybody. You're just giving thanks, right? There's no target for that kind of thanksgiving. That's one way that we give thanks. Another approach might be to take that same marker and write it on yourself. I'm thankful for what I have done. I'm thankful for what I have provided my family with. You're thanking yourself. That might be one of the objects of thanks in our nation. Similarly, a third option may be to write on someone else, I'm thankful for you, for what you have done or what you have provided. Option four is why we gather. We give thanks to Jesus, right? The creator, the sustainer, the provider. He is the target, the goal, the direction of our thanksgiving. So why must Jesus be the object of our thanks? One of my favorite sections of scripture is, it's called the Colossian hymn. It's in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 20. It appears to be a section of scripture that Paul included with his writing, but it was very familiar. Everyone would sing it. They would sing it together. It was a hymn like we sang earlier. Believers would learn through their singing. They would remind each other of who God is in these things. And so you have this Colossian hymn here. And what this hymn describes in Paul's writing in the book of Colossians is who Jesus is as that object of our thanksgiving. And I want you to hear what he says. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. He is talking about Jesus. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. That's where our thanksgiving goes, right? The author and the perfecter of our faith, through whom all things were created, the one that sustains all things by the power of his word, the one who's before all things, the head of the church, Jesus himself. And so we'll sit around the table and we'll say, thank you for the turkey, Jesus, right? Thank you for this earth, Jesus. Thank you for parents and children and friends, Jesus. And thank you for salvation. We're called to be thankful people. But our temptation is the same as the rest of the world's, to not be thankful or to not give our thanks to Jesus. Further in the book of Colossians, chapter 2, verses 8 to 15, Paul wrote this, and I think it addresses some of what we see happen throughout history from time to time. Paul wrote, "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of this world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all of our trespasses and canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them." So Paul again reminds the church at Colossae what is true, what Christ has done, but the way he prefaced it, that's just what I want to point out. He says, "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ." And this is who Christ is, right? And one of the struggles we face in our thanksgiving is being taken captive by empty deceit and philosophy that has nothing to do with Jesus. We are called to thanksgiving, but it's got to be aimed towards the author, the creator, the sustainer of all things. I mean, it adds a depth to our thanksgiving if you think about it. I mean, if we read what Paul has said here, and we get this picture of who this Jesus is that we serve, we can be thankful for cars and homes and turkey, but with a new kind of depth in our thanksgiving. A depth that says, God, you've given me a new heart. I thank you for new life. God, you've given me family, which reminds me of the family that you've included me in your family. Thank you, God. God, you've given us warm homes and soft beds, and we're thankful for those, not just because we have them, but because, Lord, we can sleep well, right? Not because they're soft, but because God is ruler of all. The saying is, as Reformed people, we can sleep like Calvinists, right? You get that? God is sovereign. Nothing can come to pass without him allowing it to happen. He has all the hairs of your head numbered. He knows your beginning. He knows your end. Sleep well, right? We have nothing to fear. When our time comes to meet the Lord, that's our time that he's appointed. We can sleep like Calvinists, right? And we praise God for that. That's bigger than soft beds and fluffy pillows, right? We thank Jesus that we can sleep well. I'm just trying to establish in that first thought that Jesus is the object of our thanksgiving. I want to ask another question, and this will be the second of two questions in this devotion tonight. What happens when we don't feel like giving thanks, though? I mean, we can understand that Jesus is the object of our thanksgiving. We can understand the depth of what we are truly thankful for when we see it through all that Christ has done and is doing. But what happens when you don't feel like giving thanks, right? It's not rhetorical, I mean, because we've all felt that way. Maybe some of you are feeling that way tonight. Maybe you'll feel that way tomorrow for whatever reason. But back to the verse I began with when Paul says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So we say, yeah, Paul, we get it. Because of Jesus, we can rejoice always. We can pray always in conversation with God. We can give thanks in all circumstances. But Paul, what if I don't feel like it? I'm just miserable, Paul. How do we do that? Because it's easy to say the right words as Christians, right? It's another thing to live those words out. Just getting to know people in this church, and we all have friends, and we know the struggles that each of us face. Financial problems, lost jobs, failed businesses, sicknesses, arguments in marriage, disagreements with kids, family issues, and on and on and on. Sin is the great joy and thanks stealer, right? So what do we do when we don't feel like giving thanks? Because Paul says, give thanks in all circumstances. And I think in some regard, Paul was also writing that to himself. You know, he's writing it to the church at Rome here, or Thessalonica. But if we understand Paul's life, I think Paul is also reminding himself, give thanks in all circumstances. You know, the book of Corinthians, Paul lines out all that he's faced, all his trials, all his hardships, when he was challenged to prove himself in the face of false apostles. You know, the challenge was, well, Paul, how come you're better than these false apostles? Not these false apostles, these apostles that are coming into the church. How come you're better than them, Paul? And Paul says, well, I could list out all of my attributes, all of my qualifications, and he goes through the whole list of them. But he says in the end, if I'm going to boast, I'm going to boast in my weakness, because in my weakness, the strength of Christ is seen. We'll talk about that some more in a moment. Paul wrote in Romans 8:28, he says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. So we think about the challenge when we don't feel like giving thanks, whether it is the loss of a job, loss of health, trial, death of a loved one, whatever it might be. We should start with a promise. Promises of God push us back into thanksgiving. If in fact God will work all things together for good for those who are called according to his purpose, no matter what we face, we're able to give thanks once again. I mean, what this did mean for the Apostle Paul is that he did have to give thanks in all circumstances. Now, it's in 2 Corinthians 11 that he lists out all his hardships, all his trials, all his qualifications. But in the end, verse 31, he says, if I must boast, I will boast about the things that show my weakness, because it's in his weakness, right, that Christ is glorified. I mean, you consider one of the weaknesses that Paul faced. He said he was given a thorn in his side. He prayed three times for it to be removed. The Lord saw fit not to remove it. It was a sign of his weakness, so he could see the strength of Christ, and so the strength of Christ could shine through the weakness of Paul, right? The application is simple. When we are weak, we see Christ more clearly, and so do those around us. That helps us give thanks when we don't feel like giving thanks. So the problems we face, pain, trial, suffering, when we place it under the sovereignty of God, we are able to give thanks once again. I'm going to wrap this up. I know you guys are itching for some pie. I mean, there's so many applications, though, you can throw into this, you know? I mean, we have it good in West Des Moines. We live well. We live better than most of the world, better than almost all of history. We also live in an area where tornadoes come through and wipe out homes. I mean, even just watching the news this last week, we got fires on the East Coast. I know Thanksgiving is our holiday, but you think even in New Zealand you had an earthquake. Japan, you had an earthquake. So you have these things even outside of our control that can be thanks stealers, right? And if we place all of the things we go through in life under the sovereignty of God, believing that he works all things together for good for those that love him, you know, if we lost our home to a tornado, we can still give thanks, right? If our fields burned up, like many have in Southeastern United States, we can still give thanks because we serve a God who is bigger than a tornado and bigger than fires. And there's so many examples you can put in this of how we give thanks when we don't feel like it. But I'm going to wrap this up here. I want to end with some profound words of thanksgiving that Paul gives in Romans 5. Hear these words. Romans 5, 1 to 11. He says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into his grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character. And character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, someone may dare to even die. But God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." So now this is kind of a limited explanation on giving thanks, but if you take two things home tonight, keep Christ as your object of thanksgiving. And when you don't feel like giving thanks, remind yourself of the promises of God, and he'll bring you back to that point, right? Therefore, we can say with Paul that we will rejoice always. We will pray without ceasing. We'll give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, we do thank you that you are the God of the good times and the bad times, the times of prosperity and the thin times, Lord. You are God of all things. Help us always have eyes to see who you are, that we might always be thankful people. And we pray this in your name. Amen. We have a closing response that will be read, and then following the response, offering, yes. We have an offering. Thank you. So the offering will be for World Renew, and then we'll have our closing response.
Give thanks to the Lord. Proclaim God's greatness.
Tell the nations what God has done.
Sing praise to the Lord.
Tell the wonderful things God has done. Be glad that we belong to God.
Let all who worship God rejoice.
The Lord is our God. God's commands are for all the world. God will keep his covenant forever.
God's promises last for 1,000 generations.
Praise the Lord.
We have limited times throughout the year to pick hymns, and this will be one of them. So if you have a favorite hymn that you want to sing, call out the number. If you have a hymnal, open to that page. If you don't, share with somebody next to you. I think there's a few on the back table if you need one yet as well. So 453, all right. Yep. 432. All right. 432. Do one more, if you have one. 182, and let's stand and sing 182.